Our text today is another line block, so I'm going to read selected verses from John 11, verses 3 through 44, starting with verse 3 through 6. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Skip down to verses 17 through 27. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Skip down to verse 32 through 36. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved you. See how he loved him." And then verses 38 through 44. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth across his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This text gives us one of those moments in Scripture where everything feels heavy before anything feels hopeful. It opens with sickness, then delay, then grief, and then a sealed tomb. There's no rush to the miracle. John lets us sit in the discomfort. He lets us hear the ache in Mary and Martha's voices, and he lets us watch Jesus arrive later than they wanted him to. It matters because we can relate to that. Most of us know what it is to pray and wait. We know what it is to believe Jesus loves us and still wonder why he didn't move sooner. We know what it is to stand in front of something that feels final and sealed shut. That's why we often relate so well to the story of Lazarus. It doesn't pretend faith is neat. It doesn't pretend grief is easy. It doesn't act like trusting Jesus means you never ask the hard questions. Martha asks them. Mary asks them. The mourners bring their sorrow with them, and even Jesus weeps. John 11 tells the truth about grief, disappointment, and fear. And right there, in the middle of all of that, Jesus says something that changes the whole room. He does not only promise resurrection one day, he declares that he is the resurrection and the life. Hope here is not built on circumstances turning around quickly. Hope is built on who Jesus is. That's why this passage comes at exactly the right time in Lent. Lent teaches us to tell the truth about what is broken. It names sin and death, and fear and loss. But it doesn't leave us here. It keeps moving us toward the cross and beyond the cross. Here in John 11, we get a glimpse of what is already true. Jesus is already confronting the grave before he goes to his own. Grief is real. Delay is real. Fear is real. But resurrection power is already at work. So I want us to stay with one phrase this morning. Come out. That's what Jesus says to Lazarus. But the more I look at this story, the more I think those words are bigger than one miracle for one man on one day. They reach into grief that is settled in so deeply, it feels like it will never lift. They reach into bitterness that is hardened over time. They reach into fear, shame, despair, guilt, isolation, resentment, and all the grave clothes we learned to wear. Come out. It is a command, but it is also an invitation. It is the voice of Jesus calling people forward from what binds them. Jesus received the news that Lazarus is sick. The sisters send for them because they know he loves them. John makes sure that we know that Jesus loves Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Then John says something almost offensive. Jesus stayed where he was for two more days. He delayed. Now, if we're honest, that detail catches in our throat because we know what it is to think, if you loved us, why didn't you come sooner? If you cared, why did you wait? That question lives in a lot of hearts, even if nobody says it out loud in church. Mary and Martha do say it out loud. Both of them tell Jesus that if he had been there, their brother would not have died. I'm glad that's in the text. Scripture doesn't clean that up. That is wounded faith. It's still faith because they are speaking to Jesus. But it is hurting. And Jesus doesn't scold them for it. He does not accuse them of failure. He receives their grief. It tells us something very important about the heart of our Lord. He is not fragile. He can handle the truth. He can handle the prayers that come out of half sobs and half accusation. Martha comes first, and her conversation with Jesus is one of the strongest in all the Gospels. She is grieving, but she is still reaching. Jesus leads her from what she knows about resurrection someday to the one who stands in front of her right then. I am the resurrection and the life. Not just I can do anything about death. Not just I know something about life after the grave. I am the resurrection and the life. Resurrection is not just an event on God's calendar. It is standing there in sandals looking at a grieving sister. Life is not an idea. Life has a face and a voice and a name. Lent presses us to remember that our hope is in Jesus. Then Mary comes and the scene shifts and Martha gives us words. Mary gives us tears. She falls at Jesus' feet and says the same sentence her sister said. Lord, if you had been here. But she can't keep talking after that. Sometimes one sentence is all you've got. sometimes all you can do is fall apart at the feet of Jesus. And once again, Jesus does not pull back. He steps closer. He sees her weeping. He sees the others weeping. He is deeply moved. He is troubled. And then he himself weeps. Now, we all know the shortest verse in the Bible, but absolutely not small. Jesus wept. He knows what he is about to do, and he still weeps, which means his tears are not the result of helplessness. They are the expression of love. He does not stand at a distance from human sorrow. He enters into it. He doesn't say, "Stop crying, I'm about to fix this." He lets grief be grief. For those of us who have ever been told to move on too quickly, this matters. Jesus does not shame sorrow. He meets us in it. Then they go to the tomb. The stone is still there. The grave is still sealed. The smell of death is already part of the conversation. Everybody knows this situation is beyond fixing. That is often where Jesus does some of his cleanest, clearest work. Not when people still think they can manage it, but when all illusions are gone. The tomb is a picture of everything in life that feels closed, final, and out of reach. Maybe for some people it is grief. Maybe it's a relationship that has died. Maybe it is trust that was broken. Maybe it is something inside of you that's slowly shut down. And then Jesus says, "Take away the stone." And this is a practical command. Before Lazarus walks out, someone has to move the stone. Before the miracle becomes visible, obedience has to happen. And Martha objects, which makes sense. By this point, there is a stench. This has gone too far. It's too late. It's too dead. But Jesus is not intimidated by what has already started to decay. Thanks be to God for that. Because some of us know what it is to carry around old wounds, old sins, old habits, old fears, old shame. Jesus is still not intimidated. Then he calls into the tomb, "Lazarus, come out," and Lazarus does. Can you imagine that moment? The silence right before it, the stunned faces, the movement where nobody expected movement. The dead man is stepping into the light, still wrapped up, still bound, hand and foot, but he's alive. This is where the story starts pressing on us, because a lot of us want resurrection. We don't always want to hear the part where Jesus calls us out. Jesus wants more than to visit our dead places. He wants to bring us out of them. Come out means you don't have to stay where death puts you. Come out means fear does not get to name you. Come out means shame is not your permanent address. Come out means your grief is real, but it is not the end of your story. Come out means the thing that wrapped itself around your heart does not get the final claim on your life. It is Jesus calling us toward freedom, healing, trust, and light. But there's one more part, and I love this because it is so very church-shaped. Jesus says to the people standing there, "Unbind him and let him go." Jesus raises Lazarus, but the community helps remove the grave clothes. That still happens. Jesus brings people to life, and then the church gets the privilege of helping take off what death left behind. We do that with patience. We do that with love. And we do that by refusing to define people by what once had them bound. This matters in Lent, because Lent is not just about personal reflection.
It is about becoming the kind of people who know how to stand near one another, who stands by another's tomb with honesty and hope. People who don't deny grief, but don't surrender to it either. People who can tell the truth about delay and still trust the heart of Jesus. People who know resurrection is not only a future promise, but a present power. At Lazarus' tomb, Jesus speaks life into death and calls people forward from what binds them. And maybe that is the word some of us need today. Not a complicated word, not a polished word, just this: come out. Come out of despair, come out of hiding, come out of bitterness. Come out of the lie that says nothing can change. Come out of the tomb you've gotten used to. Come out of what has convinced you this is all there is. The voice of Jesus is stronger than the grave, and he is still calling people by name. Bow your head with me, please. Lord, thank you for meeting us here. Thank you for speaking hope into places that feel hopeless and life into places that feel dead. As we leave this time of worship, keep your word alive in us. When we are tempted to go back to fear, remind us that you still call us forward. When grief feels heavy, remind us that you are near. When we feel bound by old wounds or old habits, give us grace to hear your voice and step into freedom. Let what we have heard today take root in our hearts and shape how we live this week. In Jesus' name, amen.